You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 56. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here. Today, we're talking about how to figure out what kind of kinkster you are and what all the labels are out there and what they all mean. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at KaylaLords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter at KaylaLords or stalk John Brownstone at SouthernSirsPlace.com. All links are in the show notes. So today's show is brought to you by none other than John Brownstone and his weapons of ass destruction. So we've mentioned a few times before about how he makes wooden paddles. And they're great wooden paddles, and they beat my ass wooden paddles. OMG. Well, guess what? He is actually got them for sale on my website. How awesome is that, right? These are good wooden paddles. These are stinging, thudding, painful, OMG, leave a red mark wooden paddles, and you can now own one. So he's got two different types on the site. One type is made out of oak. One is made out of poplar. They are finished and stained and coated correctly so they're safe. The handles are wrapped in different color paracord so that you're not, as the one, you know, beating somebody's ass, your hand doesn't hurt, because we wouldn't want that, would we? And back orders are available. So if you go to the site and one of the types has been sold out, you can still place your order. We'll get it made and get it sent out to you as soon as possible. And custom orders are available. So if you actually know about wood, or care about the wood that you use and have, you can request that with him. And if color matters, because when doesn't color matter, right? You can request specific color paracord handles. One of our friends has asked for purple paracord, and he's going to make some for her. No, friend is not a code word. I don't mean me. An actual friend. She's buying them and she wanted purple. So you can make that request too. So KaylaLords.com/shop. Really, really simple. Or just go to the show notes page. But if you are interested in wooden paddles, and yeah, I can vouch these things hurt in the best possible way, they are available for sale and more will be coming soon. Because as John Brownstone likes to say, he is looking for more reasons to play with his wood. Oh yes, he is. Okay, so let's get into the show. Enough for the commercial. No, if you buy a paddle, it does not send me to Eroticon. That's his thing. I just use my website. But it means that maybe one day he is a little bit closer to quitting his shitty job and playing with wood for a living. His wood. Anyway, okay, done with the jokes. So today's show, let's actually talk about today's show. And yes, as you can tell, he is not with me. John Brownstone is off doing other things, working and getting ready for other wood-related things he has going on. So it is just me, and I looked over our list of topics that we'd been given from the one-year anniversary, and we are still always taking more topic suggestions, so feel free. And all the topics were things I wanted y'all to hear his input on. Like, I'm thinking, hello, that needs a dominance perspective. And so I had to go, no, not that one. And then I saw this one, and this one I can talk about because I've written about it before. It's about labels and what they mean and how you figure out what kind of kinkster you are. You might kind of know you're dominant or submissive, but are you master? Are you slave? Are you a daddy or mommy? Are you a little or a baby girl? Or are you a puppy? Are you a kitten? I mean, what the hell are you, and how the hell do you figure it out? Well, that's why we're going to talk today. So, I'm kind of all over the place on this one because it's kind of a lot to cover, but I can't tell you exactly what any one label means, because let me assure you, the moment I start describing what master might mean or daddy might mean, there's somebody out there who goes, well, yeah, I call myself that, but that whole definition doesn't apply to me. And I think that's the first thing to realize about trying to label yourself in the kink world, is that it will not always apply to you. The static definition that somebody somewhere out there will create, Kinkly is a really good source for that, kinkly.com. They have an entire section of their website devoted to definitions. Some of them are kink terms and some are just sexual terms. But if you want an idea of what something means, they're a good place to go. But once you put that definition in writing, it's almost like it's set in stone. That's what it is. for somebody who's reading it, and you're not always going to fit the definition, okay? Which is why there's sort of, you know, a segment of the kinky population who doesn't even identify with labels anymore. They are what they are, and they don't use labels. I use labels for a couple of reasons. One, it helps other people identify me as a potential like-minded person. I'm not going to pretend that I'm anything other than submissive, y'all. I'm not going to say that I'm dominant. I'm not going to say that I have any master tendencies or dominant tendencies, or certainly not mommy tendencies, barely with my own children, y'all. But I love them. So, you know, that matters. So, but I do use baby girl. And I, when I explain to somebody what baby girl means, I say it's part of the little dynamic, but not exactly. And I'm a masochist and I'm definitely submissive, but I'm not a slave. I don't want to be micromanaged. And even in the slave world, there are, it's a spectrum of how micromanaged you are, how your dynamic is set up. So I use labels, but I do not think that they are set in stone, and I don't want you guys to think they're set in stone. So if you call yourself a little and then you realize that you don't like crayons or you don't have a specific age or identify with, you are no less little than the other person who fits a stereotypical definition, look, feel, and sound of a little, okay? So I just sort of want to put that out there so that everybody knows this is like everything else we do in kink. It's all up to interpretation. It's all up to personal preference. Okay. So let's talk about how to figure out what you are. Now, for a lot of us, the moment we sort of discover kink on some level, whether you're watching porn or you're reading something or you've discovered the not safe for work side of Tumblr, best thing ever. You kind of know what you're drawn to, right? So maybe you're drawn to the kneeling submissive and you identify with that person, male or female, and you think, oh yes, I want to be in that position. Or you see the dominant partner with a crop or a whip or nipple clamps or rope or whatever, and you think, oh no, that's who I am. That's usually your first indication. But no matter what you first discover that piques your interest and you think, oh yes, I like that, because we all kind of have that moment at some point. Don't be surprised if over time you find that you are drawn to other things. I have plenty of friends who they're like, I am submissive through and through, but then you throw them in a scenario with another, let's say they're a female submissive, you throw them in a scenario with another woman, oh, they've got some dominant energy, y'all. They are ready to pull some hair and pinch some nipples and beat some ass. And that they're like, yes, I can do this. Don't call them a dominant. It freaks them out. Thinking of one friend in particular, I'm watching her. I'm submissive. I, male or female, if you have a dominant energy and a dominant personality, if I like you, I will respond to that in some submissive way. Sometimes it's really subtle. Sometimes it's overt. Depends on the relationship. But if I come across another submissive who also does not have that dominant vibe going, we are lost and clueless together, y'all. I don't know what to do. Somebody's going to have to hold my hand. I'm just lost. I have not discovered that dominant energy. I think for me personally, it's because in all the vanilla aspects of my life, I'm quite dominant. Thank you. Got enough energy going there. So I have a friend and she feels so submissive, but man, she sees me naked and I'm her bitch after that. I'm okay with that. I enjoy that. But the moment I said, I think you have a dominant energy going here, she freaked out. The word bothered her. The label bothered her. And that is the moment you throw out a label. The moment the label makes you think you're doing something wrong or makes you question what you're doing, when what you're doing feels right, safe, sane, consensual, the other partner's, you know, into it and like, yes, you know, beat me, baby, or whatever. The moment the label messes with your head, you need to throw out that label. Okay. But we got to start somewhere, and the labels are a place to start. So you discover kink, you realize what you identify with. As you grow in your kinky experience, you might discover other things. I, at the very beginning, I was submissive, and I kind of knew I was masochist. You don't know if you're a masochist until somebody applies pain. You think you might be. You think, oh yeah, that sounds kind of good. And the first time you actually feel some amount of pain, then you have a better understanding. What I've learned as a masochist is that I don't like all kinds of pain. Sometimes I accept pain that John Brownstone gives me because I'm accepting it as his submissive, he does a stinging, sharp slap, or he takes his wooden paddle and beats my ass, and I get the sharpness instead of the thud, which is what I like. I'm not doing that because I'm a masochist. I'm not accepting it because I'm a masochist. I actually don't enjoy that kind of pain, but I enjoy submitting to him, and I enjoy being dominated by him, and that is a way that he dominates me. However, when we turn to a different kind of pain, one that I really, really like, which is that deep thud that comes from when he punches with flat of his fist, y'all, not like he's beaten me or anything, or a deep heavy flogger or whatever he uses to get that thud, that's where my masochist side goes, oh yeah, this is good, let's keep doing this. But I don't say that I'm somehow not a masochist because I don't like a certain kind of pain. But I'll go back to my original point. You think you're a masochist, you experience a pain, that's usually when you know, but sometimes it's not the right kind of pain, so you have to experiment with things. So you start with a label, and then you get experience, and then you experiment, and then you discover what you are. It's kind of, that's kind of the progress in the process that you make. So how the hell do you figure out what you might be and what labels to start looking at and what fits you? Well, I do not remember who put this out, and I have to go find the link so I can share it in the show notes page, but there, somebody put together a completely unscientific but very accurate for me and for John Brownstone BDSM test. And you answer a series of questions, and based on your answers, it will spit out these results of, based on the answers you give, what percentage of dominant or submissive or masochist or baby girl or kitten or whatever. It's got this big long list of different dynamics within DS and kink and BDSM to give you a place to explore. Now, some people get really freaked out about these tests because they get results they never would have expected, and they either think the test was wrong, or they think, I don't know myself, and I'm going to tell you, if you're that type, or if you know you could be that type, I'm going to tell you right now, I need you to calm down, okay? It is an internet test. It doesn't go on a permanent record, it's not in your medical records, it's not attached to your driver's license, and you don't hand it out on a resume, with your resume, okay? So everybody calm down. It is an online internet test. Now, I have found it to be extremely, extremely accurate. I'd have to go search for my old results. It pegged me as submissive, like 98 or 99%. Oh yeah, no doubt about that. And then it had some of the little, and it had, you know, rope bunny stuff, because I have learned to enjoy bondage with John Brownstone. Masochist, absolutely. As it got into lower levels of percentages, you know, there was dominant there, like 12 or 20%. Sure, because I can be dominant. I was married in the vanilla world, and believe me, I had to be dominant. I just don't enjoy it. And it talked about other kinds of things. So some of them, for me, none of them are really surprising. But what I like about this test, especially if you're completely clueless. Now, if you are completely clueless, what I would say is take the test now and then hold on to that link. And after you get some experience, you start playing with people, maybe you take your current relationship further than it already is, take the test again, because some of those questions you might go, I don't even know what the hell that is, so how do I answer it? So your initial results versus a year later, 6 months later, 2 years later might be completely different. They might be identical. But the reason I talk about using this test, I think it's BDSMtest.org, but I'm gonna go find it and actually link to it because I wanna make sure you have the right one, is because it will show you all these labels, and it will show you all these kind of identities. And some of them you might go, oh yeah, well, I know a submissive. Okay, no big deal there. Oh, there's some little in me? What do you mean there's some little in me? Ooh, there's some furry in me? What? What is all? Slave? What? And I'm telling you, if anything comes as a surprise to you, or if you're so new that you're really thinking, okay, maybe this will help me figure out what the hell I am, use it for research purposes. Use it to discover and explore more about those specific labels, okay? Don't take them as fact. Don't take them as, oh my gosh, this is what I am. So, oh, it says that I'm, you know, 85% little. I need to go find a daddy or a mommy. No, you don't. You don't have to, okay? We'll get into why the labels other people use don't necessarily matter either when you're trying to find a relationship. No, you aren't anything unless you want to be that, okay? And part of it is educating yourself on what those things mean. I wrote a guest post ages ago, probably a year or two, both John Brownstone and I did, for a friend of ours, and I'll have to find that link too, about what being a daddy meant to him and what being a baby girl means to me. It is just my personal interpretation of it. Okay. I have a lot of friends. I tease them. They really don't like the daddy dom, baby girl, or little thing. It kind of squicks them out. And that's cool. I respect that. Master slaves kind of squicks me out. So it's all good. But when I see them do things or show characteristics that are very similar to what I know to be my baby girl side. Oh yeah. I tease the hell out of them, partly because I'm a baby girl, y'all, but partly because I'm like, okay, you think you're not something because you don't like the label and you don't like what it means based on what you know it to mean because of somebody else's experience with it. You could be, if you chose to use the label, you could be a baby girl, or you could be a little, or you could be a daddy or a mommy, and have it mean something completely unique to you, and it is no less valid than what it means to somebody else. That being said, I would never make somebody feel like they had to use a label that bothered them, okay? Don't ever use a label that you don't feel like fits you. What you need to do is turn your dynamic with your partner into something that fits you both and allows you to express all the different sides of your personality and what you enjoy in kink, regardless of what you call it, okay? A lot of us have embraced the baby girl. I've never talked to a baby boy. I've talked to littles, like little boys, but I've never talked to somebody who has the male version of what I consider a baby girl persona. I think they're out there. Maybe y'all are all as shy as I tend to be. If there are any people out there, gender doesn't matter is what I'm trying to say. But if there are men out there who go, yeah, I would be the guy version of a baby girl, I would love to talk to you. Cause my baby girl energy responds to that kind of interaction. And two, I have a feeling I would find you very fascinating and could learn a lot. So I talk about baby girls a lot because that's my experience, but I don't believe that it's impossible for a man to have the same kind of tendencies. Whatever you call that might be something I've never even heard of. So what do you call yourself? Well, the main sort of overarching umbrella we all tend to use is dominant and submissive, right? DS, because that's actually how we're labeled within BDSM. Now, I know some people, you say dominant, they'll go, oh, no, I'm a master. Not to me, you're not. I respect people's labels. I do. And I respect their titles. I really do. But that little sarcastic part and voice in my head goes, no, not for me, you're not. But yeah, thanks. So even with that, you can be a master. Hello, we've talked about Master Michelle on the show many times. And one of these days, I will actually get her in here to the microphone for a conversation. She's female, y'all, and she uses master. I know a few women where they didn't even necessarily give themselves the title. Somebody else did. They're submissive, male or female. That was the sort of energy that they were putting out, and mistress didn't work for them. I have met one female dominant who I believe she is a master for her submissives. They call her lady. She is intimidating, y'all. She is so intimidating. I'm sure she's very nice. She is so intimidating. And some don't care. Some don't. I don't know what they are until I hear them talk about their own relationship. But under the umbrella is dominant, y'all. Okay. Somebody's the top, somebody's the bottom. And in a relationship sense, it's dominant and submissive. Are you at the end of the spectrum where you're a master? Are you at the end of the spectrum where you're a caregiver? Caregiver is the label we try to use. And I'm really bad about it because daddy dom is just what I'm used to. That's sort of the inclusive title or label for whether you're a daddy dom or a mommy or somebody who it's not. My understanding, and if anybody knows better, please feel free to reach out to correct me on this. My understanding is it is not always just what we think of as the daddy dom or mommy, nurturing, loving partner in a DS sense. Its caregiver can be a little bit more general, sort of like the person who dominates their submissive, but they're not in love with one another and they're not living with one another and they're not trying to get married or have babies together, but they come together for some of that in different ways to meet each other's needs. And then they, you know, break apart and go do their own thing in other ways. But I tend to think of caregiver as sort of the all-encompassing, inclusive label for everybody on the daddy or mommy / little or baby girl, baby boy into the spectrum. But there's more than that. There's handler and furry or pet play. Kittens are what I see most common, but in some people, they like puppies. I like puppies, but like actual little balls of fur puppies. and then you see the things that come with it. You know, they might wear cat ears. They might have a tail. They might have an actual dog collar, an actual kitten collar, toys. Their handler is what is often used as the label for somebody who wants to be the dominant in the furry kind of world, right? But they might still call them master or daddy or sir or ma'am or mistress or lady or whatever, okay? The title certainly is going to be unique to you and your relationship, but they engage in play that treats where that submissive falls into a headspace where they are less human, more animal. You know, they're on all fours. They are playing fetch. They are eating and drinking water out of a bowl on the floor, and that works for them. I don't have any experience with it, so it's not something you hear me talk about very often. It is absolutely a legitimate dynamic within the kink world, and DS. I would imagine that for some people there's a sexual element and for some people there's not. We all fit somewhere in there. It's for some people it's pure role play, and for some people this is their sort of headspace. The first time I got introduced to it in a way that made me go, oh, that's kind of cool, I was actually, I'd found a channel on YouTube called Watts, W-A-T-T-S, Watts the Safe Word, and it's a couple of kinksters, men, who talk about kink, and one of the main creators of this channel had his dominant talking with him for this episode, and that's where I fell in love with the channel. I'm like, oh my god, I love it. And they talk about all kinds of kinky things. Oh my gosh. But he talked about how his dominant, Mr. Christopher, I believe, is his daddy, his handler, his sir, is all these things to him because he identifies with multiple parts of the DS spectrum and different labels. And they have found a way to make that work. And then because, you know, I just went cyber stalking at that point because I'm fascinated by these guys. I followed Mr. Christopher. Anyway, I followed his profile around to see who he is. Well, yeah, he dominates, you know, his partners, but he also submits to other partners. And I have seen pictures of this man's cock and balls and some torture devices that are fascinating to me in a, stop and look at that train wreck kind of fascination. And yet as a submissive, and then as a submissive, I'm like, ooh, I bet that hurts. Ooh, I bet that hurts really good. But as somebody who's trying to identify with putting somebody's, you know, bits and pieces in a contraption and making them turn those colors or whatever. Yeah. Ooh, no, that's not my thing. But it expanded my horizons because here were two gay men talking about their specific relationship. And just like John Braunston and I do, he's thrown out labels left and right because he has all these different sides of himself that he's tapped into. And so he identifies with multiple labels, which serves my other point. You can have one label. You can say, I'm submissive. And that can be all you need to say and all you want to think about and all you want to talk about with anybody outside of your relationship. But if you're honest with yourself, I'm pretty sure deep down, maybe where you just don't talk about it, and certainly there's no rule that says you have to talk about it, even submissive isn't just one thing, you know? Do you sexually submit? Do you submit outside of the bedroom? When you're submitting, do you like a specific kind of play? Do you like specific kind of roles? What gets you off? You know, if somebody just says submissive, that is still a very broad label that can mean something different to all of us, okay? So you don't have to use multiple labels like some of us do, and you don't even have to use labels. I talk about the need to understand labels from an educational point of view and to help you sort of discover like-minded people. There is nothing that says slaves and littles can't, you know, be best friends and BFFs and get along and have a great time together. Absolutely. Absolutely. But by and large, the majority of people who identify as slaves are going to talk about their DS experience in a different way than people who identify as littles. So knowing what you are and using that label to help you find people who may think like you do or may have similar experiences to you is helpful for finding a community that can help you learn and grow. What I caution you is into thinking that, one, you can't learn something from somebody who uses a different label, because you absolutely can. You'll learn potentially more, quite frankly, because you'll get a completely different perspective. And you'll also find that you have more similarities than you do differences. And two, when you get into a group, let's say, and I saw this happen on Facebook when I was still on Facebook as Kayla and not under my vanilla name. I was in a DDLG group, and there were times that some of the littles, I had to turn it off. I had to walk away, not pull myself out of the group. I had to turn off Facebook because I couldn't handle that much like littleness being blasted in my face. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't, had nothing to do with them. It was all about me, but I couldn't take it. The problem is other people couldn't take it and told them that they could not take, you know, please stop typing in baby language. Please stop doing this. Please stop doing that. And then of course the mobs came out, and you know, sometimes you just pop popcorn to watch and, you know, watch the comments when some of that stuff happens. That stuff gives me anxiety. It's too confrontational and it's too unnecessary. So I have to back away from that stuff. But that's the danger of only seeking out groups that you identify or that identify with the label you're using, because somebody in that group, and sometimes it's more than just one somebody in that group thinks that the way they do it is the only way. And when you do it differently, they're going to tell you just how wrong they think you are. And then fighting will happen. Or you will come across enough people who do it so differently from you and in a way you don't enjoy. You might respect it as, okay, that is your own thing and you do you and I don't care. But then you have to sort of be around it more often than you might like, and it can wear you down. It can wear on your nerves until you either snap and tell somebody, please stop typing in baby talk. My personal preference, I don't like to read baby talk, but I just avoid those conversations. I'm so non-confrontational, y'all. I will do anything to avoid a confrontation. Some people aren't like that. They'll just tell you what they think, regardless of whether it really affects them or whether it's important to share what they think. It becomes a mess. So there's the downside to sort of following your label to the end of the earth, you know, to go, okay, I'm a little, so I can only be in groups of little. I'm a slave, I can only be in groups with slaves. I'm a kitten, oh, I have to find all the other kittens. Find them to find your people within that group, but do not think that that group is end all be all of BDSM and DS, y'all, okay? No, there will be people there that you will identify with or you'll learn something with or who are open-minded enough to have conversations with you about where you differ and to teach you some things that maybe you hadn't considered before. But the group is not the law, okay? No mob mentality gets to tell you how to do your DS relationship and be whatever label you identify with, okay? I sometimes feel, I used to, let's put it this way, before I gained some confidence in myself as a kinkster, I used to feel like I wasn't really a masochist because I would read all these things about people who love pain and they're like dripping blood, you know, or they're being bound so tight that they're cutting off circulation to parts of their bodies and they're loving it. They're, you know, they're using toys that I would never want used on my body, or in ways that if John Brownstone came at me like that with a whip, I'd be screaming my safe word the moment I saw him, you know? So I got into this sort of mindset, well, maybe I wasn't really a masochist. And I had to do some soul searching and some thinking. And I went, no, I know I like pain. My level of pain might be different from everybody else on the planet, but that doesn't mean I don't like pain. I had to give myself the pep talk, y'all. I had to, like, you know, beat myself up a little bit, build myself back up, and then go, yeah, right, I'm a masochist. Here we go. These are the things that happened in my head, and now I've just subjected you guys to it. Sorry. So be careful of the label is what I said, what I mean by all of that. Use it to help you find people, to help you find some of your people. Realize that if you are a slave, your every single submissive friend you have doesn't have to be a slave, y'all. You can learn things from the submissives. You can learn things from the littles. You can learn things from people who are, you know, just bottoms or the masochists or whatever label you use. We can all learn something from each other. So don't get stuck in that, oh, I have to stay with this group because this is who I identify with and only these people will understand me. Mm-mm, not at all. On the other side of labels and understanding labels, sometimes you have to reject them completely. Now, I don't reject them. Like I said, I use them to help find like-minded people. I have pulled all the labels to myself that I feel fit with me, and I use them all. You know, if I have to, if somebody says, okay, I need a really short bio on you, I say submissive and kinkster, right? Because kink, God, that can be anything. But man, when I get to talk about myself, that's when you hear baby girl and submissive and masochist and whatever else I, you know, might be feeling at the moment. But so I use them and I proudly use them and I talk about them because, again, I said it before, teaching tools, y'all. This is how, part of the learning process of kink and BDSM and DS. Well, when I did write that article for Kinkly, like I said, I'll put it in the show notes for you. I had people tweet at me that they were like, oh no, labels are ridiculous. Labels just hold you back. Labels just, you know, stifle you. And they were mad at me. And so, you know, I got into a polite conversation and said, well, I understand that. And yes, that absolutely can happen. But if you are new to this lifestyle, you got to start somewhere and you might as well start with the labels and figuring out what they mean and where your place in it. And they came back and went, okay, I see your point. Right? So I have to include, if we're going to talk about labels, let's talk about rejecting those labels. So I use her as my example all the time because she's probably the coolest chick I know. And she's done a little bit of everything, I think. But Master Michelle actually has said she does not identify with any one label anymore. Dominant, submissive, master. She's kinky. She likes what she likes, I think is sort of how it's been described to me. She likes what she likes. And what she's found, I think part of it, and this is me sort of, you know, deciding for myself because I haven't talked to her in ages, is, you know, with some people she's got dominant energy and she wants to dominate them, and some people she's got submissive energy, and in some instances it just doesn't matter. This is just who she is and she doesn't need a label. I respect that. I think that's cool. I'm not that person, or I'm not in that place in my life, but at a certain point you just are who you are. And if you say, okay, yeah, I'll say I'm submissive because I fall under DS, you know, I'm in this relationship, I have a dominant. Okay. You don't have to justify or explain what that means to you. You don't have to tell me what your labels are. Okay. You don't have to say, well, I'm a little dash of kitten with some, you know, 5-year-old little sprinkled in. Oh, and you know, I'm a total masochist and somebody I want to be beaten till I'm bloody. You don't have to tell anybody that. You don't have to justify yourself. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't even have to search out people who have similar labels to you. You can absolutely reject labels. What I would say before you do that is learn what those labels are, not because the labels themselves are important, but by realizing that there are different types and ways of doing this kinky thing we do, and that there's a spectrum, you open yourself up to learning about how other people do things differently. And in the process, you then may come across something that you'd never heard of before, you'd never thought of before, but it intrigues you enough to learn more. And then you can decide if there's a part of you that that fits with. You know, if there's a certain energy you get with a certain type of person or in a certain mood or when your mind is in a certain place, you know, you go, oh, yes, let's be a puppy right now. You know, let's be a baby girl. Let's color. Let's, you know, whatever. Whatever, y'all. Labels are educational. And then at the end of the day, they're completely subjective. There's no hard and fast rule. One of my things I'm going to do for Kinkly, think it'll probably be after you listen to this show, so this is kind of timely, is they asked me to write up an official definition of daddy dom little girl. And I am freaking out because I don't think they want a definition that says daddy dom little girl is this unless you feel this way. And then it's this, except in these situations when it's this. Right? Sometimes it's a bad thing to see all the different, not all, but a lot of the different ways people do things, because it's very hard to put something down and set it in stone as saying this is what it is. So I'll have to choose my words very carefully, because I don't ever want somebody to read something I write, especially, but a definition or something informational about kink, and after they've read it, they think, oh, well, I don't fit that at all. That can't possibly be me. And then they reject something that might be a part of who they are. They might call it something else. You know, when I first discovered that I might have this baby girl side. I was ashamed of it. I didn't consider it little. And I even said, I might be a baby girl, but I'm not a little. There's no way I'm a little. Because it felt, I don't want to say it felt wrong, but it felt like it should be wrong. You know, grown women don't want their hair in pigtails, and grown women don't necessarily watch Disney movies, and grown women aren't this vulnerable. They're not this needy. I had spent my entire adult vanilla life saying, why do I want somebody to take care of me? I hate this feeling, because I didn't have anybody in my life who took care of me. I was a grown woman. So, you know, my mother was like, okay, this is not my job anymore. My husband was too busy letting me take care of him, because that is what submissives do, y'all. We take care of the people we love in our own way. What I had to do was be the dominant one, little d dominant, in the relationship. And yet the way I show love, romantic, you know, physical, all that kind of love, non-maternal, non-platonic, is to take care of the person I love, to do things that make them happy, to try to take care of their needs, to anticipate their needs. But at the same time, I had this just dying, awful need for somebody to do the same for me. And I perceived it as a weakness. Now, a lot of us are, if you don't already know, I will tell you, but a lot of us already know, in DS, it is a yin-yang thing. It is a give and take. I fulfill his needs and I take care of him in the way that he wants me to and that suits our personalities. And at the same time, he takes care of me. I mean, it is absolutely a back and forth give and take thing. A lot of people think, oh, the submissive does everything and fulfills all their dominance needs. And what does the submissive get out of it? Well, in a good relationship, you are being taken care of equally, in a different way, but equally. And so that need that I had to be nurtured and to be babied and to be coddled, that I thought was a weakness, it was my baby girl side, you know, sort of knocking at the door going, hello, you've been neglected for a long, long time, and that's what you need. But I was afraid of it, and I was ashamed of it, because I'd been raised and I was supposed to be the strong, independent woman and not need anybody. Well, fuck that. No, I don't need everybody. I need the person I love who loves me as much as I love him. That's who I need. Everybody else, no, I don't need them. I might want them. I might like them. I don't need them. I need him. And there's no shame in that. But it took me a while to get there. It took me, once I decided, okay, I could be baby girl, and this was my, you know, I created a box for myself of what my definition of baby girl was. And for me, it is about being childlike, both in good and bad emotions, y'all. So I giggle, but I also get teary and I cry and I pout and I stomp and I have temper tantrums. Oh yeah, there's a lot of those. But I, you know, sing and I hum and I dance and I might skip if the mood strikes me. And I have these things about me that are definitely younger than almost 37. it took me a long time though to realize that baby girl is just in the little spectrum. It is, I identify with certain little tendencies. I think that's what I called it for a long time, little tendencies. Because I do, I have my stuffies. And I love, in the winter, I love my knee socks, my fuzzy purple knee socks and my cute PJs. And I have my Hello Kitty blankie. And oh yes, I have been sleeping with it a lot lately. It's been a huge comfort while I deal with all my anxiety and all that mental stuff. But it took me a long time to be able to say that being a baby girl is being part of the DDLG dynamic, because I had confused, you know, what I thought a label meant with what it meant to me. And ultimately, all that matters is what it means to you as an individual and to you within your relationship. And that's kind of the bottom line with any of them, okay? I know people who refer to their relationship as a master-slave relationship, and yet when I start talking to them about how, you know, well, what how does your relationship work and what does that look like, I would identify with it more as a, quote, typical, end quote, DS relationship. It doesn't matter what I think, though. It in no way matters what I think. For them, that's a master-slave relationship, and that's who they are, and that's what they want to be, and that's where they identify. Cool. Great. It means nothing to me. I'm happy for them that they have the language they need to discuss what they're doing, that they have figured out their place in it, and that they're constantly working on their relationship. And ultimately, that's all that matters. That is all that matters as a outside kinkster looking in at their relationship is is it consensual? Do I, you know, am I worried that this person's being abused? If I was worried about that, I would have a conversation with that person. I would have a conversation with, you know, a leader in our local lifestyle. I would say, okay, I'm concerned. What can we do? But as long as I can assume that it's safe and it's consensual and everybody's happy over there, you do you, dude. It does not matter. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It doesn't matter if you use the same labels I use and we're completely different. None of that matters. And ultimately, for all this talk of labels, that's the bottom line. None of it matters. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't want to say I don't care what you do, because I don't, because it's your life. I only care that you're safe and consensual and finding fulfillment, okay? If you are miserable in what you're doing because the label doesn't fit or because you're with the wrong person, I care, because I'm trying to be a compassionate human being, and so of course I care about you. But you can call yourself whatever you want. Sir Schmoopsy Pants comes to mind. Anybody? Nobody has taken me up on that. So that's the bottom line with labels. Learn about them. Use them to help you learn about yourself. Keep using them as long as they work for you. And if they stop working for you, reject the label. It doesn't change who you are. It just changes what you call yourself. So I'm sure that's not all that could be said about labels, but for right now, it's all I have to say about labels. I will include the links to the article, to the YouTube channel I was telling you about. Oh my gosh, what's a safe word? That's a great YouTube channel. I would just check them out for another perspective on how to do kink. Sometimes they show you stuff. I saw one come through my email. I think it was about water play. I'm not into that kind of thing, but they show you that, and they talk about different events they've gone to. They talk about all kinds of stuff. So they're another good resource to check out if you're trying to learn more about this kink thing. And it sort of reminds us, it helps remind me, even though I know it, but sometimes you just need to be reminded that I am a white, hetero, cis woman who submits to a white, hetero, cis dominant man. Okay. We are the stereotype. I don't care that I'm a stereotype, but I do care that I don't forget that there are other ways to do kink, and there are other types of people out there who do kink. Do not ever look at just your relationship. I don't care if you're, you know, straight, gay, male, female, white, whatever. Do not ever look at your relationship and think that the way you do your DS is the only way to do DS. There are as many ways to do DS as there are people out there getting kinky, okay? There's no one way to do it. There's no right way to do it. The only wrong thing is not being safe, not being consensual, not being informed about the risk that you are entering into when you agree to play, and not being safe. But after that, oh no, sky's the limit, y'all, label or not. Okay, so that's it. I try not to ramble too much because, you know, the bonus section is where I'll do all my rambling. Without John Brownston here to stop me, it'll be a little scary, but we'll make it through. So if you have questions about labels, or if you completely disagree with me, you can always reach out. I might have to change the intro. I always say Twitter, and I am on Twitter. I like Twitter. But I'm on FetLife too. It takes me a while to message back on FetLife, y'all. Not because I'm ignoring you. I'm not. I'm just really bad with FetLife. It's not one I can keep up on my browser and worry that my kids won't see something. Ooh, no. Mom, why is that lady strapped to that chair? Don't look at this screen is sort of what happens. But I am on FetLife, Kayla Lords. So is John Brownstone. He is Southern Sir pretty much everywhere. So you can always reach out to us if you have more questions, if you're concerned. If you disagree, here's the thing. I rarely have anybody come out and disagree with me. It's sort of weird. I don't think I'm right about everything. I'm pretty sure I'm not right about most things. If you disagree, it's okay. You can disagree. Just everybody be respectful. You know, no hate, no internet trolling. Just say, you know, this is how I view it. And I'll go, huh, okay, you've given me something to think about. And we go from there. So there is always that. If you have any show ideas or questions that have nothing to do with today's show, then of course, reach out. Email's good. Like I said, Twitter. I have a Facebook page, Kayla Lords Author. It's a page, not a personal profile. You can always message me there too. I'll take it wherever I can get it, y'all. So that's it for this week. Hopefully, John Brownstone will be with me next week, because I really like it when he's with me, and I think we do a better show when he's with me. And he kind of keeps me on track better, because I'm a rambler and I lose my train of thought. But that's it for me this week. Stick around in a few minutes and I'll start rambling about random things. Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Okay, is everybody who wants to be here still here? Hope you are. Hope I'm not just talking to myself. I know I'm not. I've gotten enough feedback over the past like 2 or 3 weeks about these random rambling sessions with the bonus sections that I know people are out there listening. So yay, thank you. It's really hard to do this without John Brownstone. I really, really, really want him here. But he has, okay, so I'm recording on September 28th, which is Wednesday, and you will hear the show. The first time you could hear it is September 30th, 2016. Well, on October 1st, he is doing a craft show because, see, yeah, he makes the paddles and the paddles are great. And I really, really hope anybody who wants, they're reasonably priced, y'all. They're $25 a piece, okay? I think as he gets, you know, starts doing more intricate things with the paddles, the price will go up, of course. But hello, $25 for a solid wooden paddle that I can vouch. Oh my God, this thing leaves marks. Anyway, but he makes other things, pens and shaving brushes and keychains and wine stoppers and bottle openers. He makes all kinds of stuff. So this is his side hustle. And hopefully one day when we grow up, we can make it his like full-time thing. But he's doing a craft show. I'm not going. It is like an hour and a half away, and I'm not dragging the kids. And oh no, except I'm kind of tempted to go to support. I don't know. I'll see. I don't think I'm going to make the drive out there because I don't know how the hell to get there, and I would get lost in the backwoods of Florida. Nobody wants to get lost in the backwoods of Florida. Yes, there is a backwoods to Florida. So he's getting ready for that, and we are already having late nights. I'm his marketing department. You know, he's my IT department. Well, I'm his marketing department. So I'm helping him get all his stuff together and promote it and put his what we call collateral together, like signs and stuff like that. But he is finishing up last minute projects to make sure they're ready for the show. And he said, baby girl, I love you and I love doing the show, but I'm tired. And it's already a late night. If we record the show at night together, it's not happening this week. And I said, okay. So then I had to search around for a topic that was what I consider a good topic that I didn't feel like I desperately needed his input on, that y'all needed his input on, because I will try to understand the dominant side of things, but it's all theoretical. So I'm usually speaking from a very submissive perspective, and I think that on certain topics, you miss something if you don't get the other side. So hopefully next week he'll be back. So for my idea, I'm not sure if your surroundings got brighter as that light bulb came on over my head about the video idea from last week. If you missed it, I threw out the what if we did video of John Brownstone spanking my ass or doing other kinky things. And some of y'all responded and very, very enthusiastically. I had a really good idea come through email about creating a series of videos separate from Patreon and making them available by subscription or whatever. I'm not sure what we'll do. Patreon is to help me get to Eroticon as part of what's going to help me hopefully get to Eroticon. But I think I mentioned it last week or the week before. It's also got to pay for this podcast, and this podcast is becoming I don't want to say popular, like, ooh, everybody knows about loving BDSM. Mm-mm. But among kinksters who are trying to educate themselves, we are growing. And that's a really cool thing. But it's actually expensive to host all of the episodes. And I found the cheapest way I could that would be reliable, so that you could download a show no matter what. Because if I hosted it on my website, it wouldn't cost me anything. But after, there'd get to a point where the whole site would crash if enough people came just to do the episode, to download the episode. So we had to use an alternative method, and there's a monthly cost for it. That's not a bad problem to have, y'all. I love having that problem. But there's only so many hours in the day for me to work and do this and do my writing. So we have to find ways to pay for it. It's why you're starting to hear commercials after the intro when we start the show. I'm using affiliate links right now. And then of course, you know, Daddy's Paddles, cause I want y'all to buy them, and I want him to be successful. I want him to be so busy making stuff that people want to buy that he can tell his shitty boss and his shitty job to go fuck themselves. we're on a 3-year plan for that. We don't think it's going to happen overnight, but we've got the next 3 years that that's what we want to do. We want to grow this until it can be something. At the same time, I'm trying to grow my own business, my writing, and all that good stuff. So, but it, these things take time, and time is money, and it gets crazy. So yeah, anything I can do on Patreon, which is, I like that because it allows me to do something for just about everyone. So some people really like the writing part, and some people just want to throw $1 or $2 or $5 my way, and God knows I'm grateful. But if I can offer something that makes people go, ooh, yeah, that's worth paying for, and it doesn't hit, you know, hit you real hard in the wallet, in the bank account, then I want to, you know, I want to do that. So we've got all kinds of stuff. I know some of y'all know me because of the podcast. Some of y'all have never been to the website, and that's cool. God, that sounded like I was my mother trying to guilt you. I am so sorry. What I mean is that I do more than the podcast, right? So I'm a blogger and I'm a writer. I'm an erotic writer, and I love writing erotica because I write erotic DS stories, novellas. I haven't written a full length novel because I'm not sure I really want to write quite that much sex. But I do it, you know how I talk about DS from a very realistic perspective, this is what it really looks like. Well, when I write my erotica, the DS relationships are realistic, okay? The dominants are not bulletproof. They are not always confident. The submissives are not these simpering little, oh, please, oh, take me. Fuck that. Sometimes they're bratty, and sometimes they forget themselves, and sometimes, you know, they talk back, and you know, and sometimes it's not a perfect moment and whatever, but I like to think the sex is still hot. So I'm telling you all that to let you know that I finally got my shit together and I'm writing more. I actually wrote a vanilla story, y'all, and John Brownstone read it for me. He is my first reader on nearly everything I write. I'm gonna try and get it published under my own actual name. That's one of my goals, but I spent a week on it, and he read the rough draft, and he said, oh my God, he said, you almost had me in tears. He said, and I had to keep reading. I had to know what happened next. And I was like, yes. So that gave me the confidence I needed to get my ass in gear and start writing my erotica again. I have a series out, Sir and Baby Girl. I know most of you who are the bonus listeners, you're like, oh yeah, I like Kayla Lourdes enough. I will listen to her ramble for 10 or 15 minutes. A lot of you have read that. The third book kind of leaves you hanging because there was something that happened, and then you're like, but there's nothing after this. It's because I'm writing the fourth book, y'all. But I'm finally writing the fourth book, and it's my intention to get that done sooner rather than later, and then to keep staying on track with my writing and just get stuff written. Ideally, over time, I'd have a big enough catalog of erotica that the sales from that would actually amount to real income. I mean, right now I might make anywhere from $15 to $30 a month on book sales. I'm not holding my nose over that. That money is money. You know, income is income. But yeah, I would like it to be a little bit more substantial. Couple of things that have been in the works for a long time, and now that I've kind of gotten myself back to being more my normal self, the anxiety seems to be at bay. Depression only comes when the anxiety hits, so that for now is at bay. I'm always going to be OCD, and I will probably always be a little manic, a little bit, because I get excited about my goals and I get really focused, like hyper focused, and if not for John Brownstone, I wouldn't sleep, I wouldn't eat, I would just work. He doesn't let me do that, thank God. But I do have a book in mind about BDSM, nonfiction, DS relationships, taking from the podcast and putting it into sort of book form with much more organized, for sure. And for people who want, you know, need something to help them get through the beginning of going DS, or just want something to help them through the process, you know, even after they've been together for a while. So there is that. I have even thought about doing courses, online courses, to help submissives, to help people in DS relationships, communication, and learning about what BDSM is and stuff like that. We shall see. It's there's so much I want to do and there's just not enough time in the day. So I am working on it. Oh yeah. And by the way, I still do want to go to London. See, this is what happens when there's no anxiety. Kicking my ass, my brain goes into overdrive. And so this is what happens. So all that's sort of going on and happening. And I think we will probably try to do video probably for Patreon for right now to kind of see how it goes. I don't know when, you know, there's just so much going on, but I did get feedback and I loved it and I appreciate y'all all for it. And I am writing and I'm about to probably, okay, this is Wednesday. So Thursday, my intention is the piece I'm working on right now, erotic piece, there will be masturbation. Oh yeah. There will be masturbation because I love including masturbation in my writing. Hello. I run something called Masturbation Monday. So of course I do. But this is between, this will be a dominant guiding the submissive's masturbation over the phone. She will be in a semi public place. And oh yeah, it's going to be good. So that's kind of thing I like to write. And those, as soon as the next book is ready, that'll be the commercial of the podcast where I, you know, beg you all to buy my book. So that's it. That's enough rambling, I think, for 1 week. If you ever have questions about things I talk about or ideas or just want to chat, you're welcome to, y'all. Sometimes it takes me a while. I have to be in the right frame of mind because I don't ever want to make anybody feel like I have been dismissive of something they've emailed me. So I wait until I can sit down and I can focus on the email and I can give a true and good and, you know, genuine response. Sometimes you have to wait a couple days. I don't want to shortchange anybody, but I do welcome those comments and those messages and all of that. So don't be shy. It's okay. I don't bite unless you're into that and we're both naked. Otherwise, I'm not biting you. It's okay. That's it for me this week. Like I said, hopefully John Brownstone will be back next week. If not, well, we'll just keep on keeping on. And I will we'll try and keep everything going without him until he can be back. So have a good week and keep it kinky. And I love you guys so much. You're awesome. Bye.